Okay. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you so much for leading us tonight. I thank you so much for your mercy and your grace upon us, Lord. And I ask and I pray, Father, that you lead us and guide us tonight to talk about some important things. How to stay in your presence, Lord. How to even come into your presence. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Thank you, Father, that tonight's going to be an awesome time for everybody. And I ask and I pray, Father, that you bring people's remembrance to the times that they came in to your presence and how we did it, what we did to get there. Father, your presence is so awesome. And we just ask and we pray tonight, Lord, that the simplicity of this subject would come out and that it would be an awesome revelation to many people out there that are listening and probably to some that are here tonight. And Father, we thank you for your blessings of the Holy Spirit and what he does for us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your Son that you sent to come here and give us a way to come into your throne room, Lord. And we praise you for it. We thank you, Lord, that tonight's going to be an awesome time with you, Lord. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name, Lord. Let your glory fall upon this group right now in Jesus' name and fill us, Father, with your Holy Spirit. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. Okay. Has anybody got any prayer requests? Come on, man.
I have a prayer request. I had actually called my mother to ask her to pray in case I didn't make it on time. But since I made it on time, I'll ask myself. Okay. So I have a cousin, and I call her my sister because we've been best friends since I was 14. So she has a cat, and his name is Lennon. And he's a rag doll, and he's very sick. They took him to the vet, and the vet said that he has kidney and liver failure. And this afternoon he had a seizure. And I lived there at her house with this cat for a year and 9 months. So I got to know him very well. I've known him since 2011. Or 12 when she got him. So I can't remember exactly what year. But he's too young to die. Like, it's not the age of dying, let's say. He's not even 15. So I want to pray for a miraculous healing because we all really love this cat. Like, everybody does. My whole family does. Like, my oldest and my husband and everyone does. So just for him to live, for God to do a miracle.
Okay. You go ahead and pray and we'll believe with you.
Okay. All right. Father God, we come before you now, before your throne, not because of anything that we deserve, Lord God, but because your blood covers us and covers our sins. And by your stripes, we were healed, Father God. And we know that you are a loving and merciful God. And so we ask you for mercy upon Lennon, that you may heal his body, that you may come and pour your healing over him from the throne, like a river coming into his body and healing his liver and healing his kidneys that he may be completely all the cells restored and that you may do a miraculous healing in him. And we can all know that it was a miracle, Lord God, because it's not humanly possible, but for men it is impossible. But with you, nothing is impossible, Father God. We trust you. We trust that you are a wonderful God, and we trust that you have the power and can heal him. We pray for mercy also because everybody in the family that is surrounding him is not emotionally ready for him to die at this moment, Father God. So we ask that you spare him for more time on earth, Father God, because of the emotional and spiritual condition also of everyone around him. In Jesus' name, we pray and we thank you. Amen.
What'd you say the name of that cat was here?
Lennon, L-E-N-N-O-N. He's a rag doll. Okay. He's really white and blue eyes. He's really sweet.
Okay. You mind if I pray for him?
Oh, I would love that.
Okay. Father, we lift up Lamon to you. And Lord, we thank you that we do have pets that we love, Lord, and they're always of comfort to be around. And Lord, I thank you that you've given us authority over the enemy. That enemy that's attacked in Lemon right now is kidney failure and liver failure. In the name of Jesus right now, I command the kidneys to be healed. I command the liver to be healed and to start functioning like brand new livers and kidneys in the name of Jesus right now inside of Lemon. And I thank you, Lord, that everything that the enemy has tried to take from Lemon, Lemon has been replaced and restored as new in the name of Jesus. Right now, Lemon, you be healed. You get out from there and be friends again, back with the family. And Lord, we thank you for putting supernatural energy in that cat right now in the name of Jesus, that he'd be just ready to go in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father. It's to your glory, Lord, because they'll know that it's from you, because the doctors already gave up on him. And Lord, we're at our weakest. We can't do anything for him but just to pray for him. And we know when we pray, we have an open heaven, and the angels are right now going to that cat and working on him right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, that Lemon is healed, delivered, and set free, full of the love of Jesus, because he knows who healed him. In Jesus' name, amen. Everybody believe that. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Thank you, Lord, that Lemon is completely healed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. All right. That's a done deal.
Michael, we have a praise report as well. A couple of weeks ago, we prayed against wasps coming into our home. I don't know if you can remember that. We prayed for them all. Well, we actually prayed that they would die as soon as they come in. And this morning, we haven't had any in the house.
Oh, we have.
We've had some. And this morning, I found two in the schoolroom there that are just, they come, and this has never happened before. They were just on the carpet, just wriggling around like they're dying. And the one is at the old fireplace has come through and was on the floor. So we nearly stepped on them because they're never on the floor. They're always just flying around if they do get in. So that's awesome. They were just wriggling like they were cursed and dying. And I literally just picked them up and threw them out. And they didn't fly away. They just stayed dead. So, and that's awesome. So I want to make a correction if we can. Instead of praying for them to come in and die, I'm going to pray that they don't come in at all, that they confuse. This house has got a lot of holes in it and they can come in all sorts of spaces. I don't want to go around blocking up all the holes and things. So I'll just pray and we can agree, you know, these wasps won't come into this house. So, Lord, we are so amazed at your wonderful promises Lord, and you are so true, and you've never let us down. And those who trust in the Lord will never be put to shame. Lord, thank you for this wonderful testimony of these wasps that are just coming into this house and dying exactly as we prayed, Lord. Father, now in the name of Jesus, we command these wasps to not even know where to come in. They don't need to die. They can just not come in. They can go outside and do what they ever need to do outside, but they will not come near our children. They will not come inside our house. They will be so confused. They won't be able to find these holes. If there's a nest somewhere, Lord, we command that nest to die off and be gone. They can go make a nest in the forest. And we thank you, Father, for that hedge of protection, Lord. Amen.
Amen. I believe it. Lord, we thank you that every hole in that house is sealed up to where the wasps can't get in. And there's never, ever, from this point on, going to be another sting in this family from a wasp bee or anything else as far as that goes, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, that they are protected by the blood of Jesus. Amen.
We've never had a sting. So even never ever have we had a sting. So the Lord is so good.
Everyone else in the community everybody's been stung because they're very prevalent here. They're big, almost like your yellow jacket. I think it's called wasps. They're similar, or might even be the same. But since we've come here, we've prayed once and we just believed it, and we've never had a sting.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Hey, Dave. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Marilyn.
There's a hurricane out in the Gulf again, and Lake Charles was hit with a Category 4 hurricane about 6 weeks ago. And they look like they're very close to where it's going to hit again. The city's just starting to get power back on. And the person that reported this said that they did an aerial view of the city, and that everybody's, you know, almost all the city, the roofs of the houses and the buildings are all covered with tarps because they haven't had a chance to, you know, get the damage repaired from this last hurricane. And this one looks like it's going to hit as a Category 2. And so I'd just like to pray for the people there in Lake Charles, Louisiana. Father, I thank you and praise you, Father, that we can cast all our cares upon you because you care for us. And you know, Father, there's somebody that I care for and pray for that's based out of Lake Charles, and he's one of your elect. He's an evangelist. And he was asking for prayer, and not so much for himself, but for the people. He had a good attitude about it. He's actually out of the country. He's in Brazil. Ministering right now, but his family's there. So Father, we lift this area up to you, Lord. You know what you're doing here. We know that you're sovereign. We know also, Father, that when the judgments are in the land, the people learn righteousness. But Father, we also know that your word says that mercy triumphs over judgment. Mercy glories over judgment, Father. So that's what we're asking for the sake of the elect there, Lord, not just for Lake Charles, but for the communities around there and exactly wherever this thing is headed. Father, I pray for mercy. I pray, Lord, even for the diminishing of this, a diminishing of the winds. Jesus said, peace be still to the storm on the Sea of Galilee. And Lord, I speak peace to this storm. as it's headed in, Father, that you're going to show yourself strong on behalf of the elect. Lord, I believe you have elect, that you've got true saints and true disciples all over the world, because you've always had a remnant. So, Father, for the sake of the elect, show yourself strong here, Lord. I pray for comfort. I pray for peace for the people that are there. We bind up the spirits of anxiety and worry and fear and doubt and unbelief and just hopelessness. And Lord, I thank you for what you're going to do here, that this thing is not going to be as bad as what they forecast. We hate to see anybody get hit with something like this, but I do pray, especially, Father, that since Lake Charles was just hit so hard by this, that you would have mercy. You would have mercy there. And more than anything, Father, that people will be crying out to you. Pour out a spirit of repentance. Also, Father, give your people faith. And let them just be crying out to you. Because if they do, when they do, you'll hear. And I pray also for repentance. A lot of times we cry out to you when you just want us to repent. Father, I pray that all this suffering is not for naught. Pour out a spirit of repentance and faith on your people. And even though it might not seem like it, Father, for the sake of the elect, all this will work out together for good, because the elect love you and they're called. Father, if this is a warning, if this, you know, Father, your wisdom's so far beyond our understanding, we can't figure you out unless you tell us something, and we don't know what we don't know. But Father, you do all things well. If there's a reason that you want this to happen because you want people moving out of that area, we just pray that it will accomplish your will. So, Father, I thank you and praise you for your mercy. Thank you for hearing our prayers. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Lord, let it be so that your glory would come forth, Lord. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for doing that. Amen. Okay. All right, anybody else? Yeah, Angelica, go ahead.
I'd like prayer of agreement for my mom and my grandma. They both seem to be having some issues with their stomach. My grandma's, she's just really bloated and they're having a hard time going to the bathroom. So I just like prayer of agreement that this curse, this generational curse that has plagued my mom for so long, I'm not sure about my grandma, but he's broken in the name of Jesus. So Father, in Jesus' name, I lift up to you this situation, my grandma, my mom, Lord God, and just my family, Father God. And I just ask, Father God, that you just break the power of this generational curse, Father God, that you forgive the iniquity and the sin of the family, Father God, if there's something behind this, Father. And we ask that you just release us, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, and that you bless my mom and my grandma's bowels, Father God, to function properly, Father God, and or bless them with new bowels, Father God, however you choose to do it, Father. We just thank you, Father, that by the stripes of Christ Jesus, we were healed. And Jesus Christ took upon himself all of our curses, Lord, and they're nailed to the cross, and we have the blessings of Christ Jesus. And we just thank you, Lord, that they're healed. I pray for revelation of faith for my grandma, my mom, Lord, for mercy for them, Father God, and their ignorance, and just let them know that they know, Lord God, that they've been healed by your power, your mercy, Father, and let them rejoice and praise you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we hook our faith up with Angelica, and we believe it is so, that Mom and Grandma have been healed by the blood of Jesus. And Father, we thank you for it. We speak to her, those organs right now in the name of Jesus, and command you to be healed by the power and authority and the blood of Jesus. And we praise you, Father, that they are healed, delivered, and set free in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that you're going to get the glory too. You're going to get the glory, Lord. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. All right. Anybody else? Amen. I'm having trouble keeping up with the chat again. I'm going to quit it. All right. Anybody got a testimony, a praise report? How many of you know that everything we prayed tonight's already come to pass? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, it has. We got an open heaven. Glory to God, it's already done. Wash can't get in. Mom and grandma's healed. Everybody, I don't remember the rest of it. Oh, the cat, he's healed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. And we're going to have a good time tonight. Glory to God. The night's topic, how do you seek the Lord? What are you seeking for? And how to get into the presence to get his wisdom? Who wants to go first? This is an awesome subject. Any one of those. Yeah, Andrew, go ahead, brother.
Well, I can tell you something that happened today. I didn't go to work today. I'll go to work tomorrow. And I woke up late and, you know, why not, eh? And did my study and listened to the two fasting and prayer videos that are on the site. They're on YouTube. Downloaded them and read the Bible and okay, I guess I was fluttering there for a while.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm trying something different here. And
what you got on there now is working good.
Well, I just went into the mute and brought up the screen that shows you the levels for the mic and the speaker. And I'm just going to leave that screen on because it seems to work better when that's on. And I went to the store to buy some yogurt. So I got some Greek yogurt and just the cheaper yogurt. And I went to the cash register and she scanned one of them and then moved the other one over. And then she scanned the cheaper one twice. So she asked me for the money and it was something like $6. And then I left and I was going in the parking lot. I went, why did I leave? Why didn't I have her correct this? You know? What's wrong here? Why did I let this go? You know, and I walked home and I came home and I go, well, maybe there was a sale. I was thinking that while I was going through the parking lot and I looked at the bill and she scanned the cheap one twice rather than the expensive one. And I sort of was a bit confused because she scanned the expensive one first and it didn't scan. So she scanned the other one. And I don't know what happened there. And then I was going, man, this was wrong. But I walked out of there and I knew I walked out of there with the cheaper price for both of them, you know. And I'm getting home and then I got home and I noticed that there was no one in the laundry room. And I said, I better get the laundry started, put the laundry in there. And then I sat down, you know, put the stopwatch on for whatever the laundry is, 29 minutes, whatever, for it to wash it. And I sat down, picked up my Bible sheets, and I just tried to read it, and I couldn't read it, you know. And I was going, what's going on here, you know? So I said, that was my fault. I walked out of the store there, and I didn't have the wisdom there. So I said, what do I do now? What do I do? So I packed up the two. I even put them in the fridge. So I packed up the two cartons of yogurt. Took the bill, went off to the store, And I was going, oh, let there not be a lineup, because you know how they all line up and to get into the store. And there was no lineup, so I got in. But then there was a lineup in front of the cash register where you have to make returns, you know. And I felt like an idiot going in because it was only $2.50 difference. And I waited, and then I got to the front of the line, and she was distressed, the counter person, because that's where they order the cigarettes and everything, and where you make the exchanges or the corrections. And I told her that she charged me two for the cheaper ones, and I brought the items in so she can rescan them to correct the computer to know that I bought one of the Greek yogurts and one of the cheaper Activa yogurts. And then she said, okay, you owe me $2.50, and I gave her $2.50, and I left the store. And I was praising God on the way home. So that was just a thing today, you know, where the Lord takes care of you, even though you might not even be really, well, I guess you are kind of seeking his presence for that. And actually, immediately what came into mind is, today's Thursday. I'm going to be in front of all the people with this crazy sin on me. I don't want that. And actually, there was another time earlier this week. That's when someone tried to convert me to be some sort of satanic cult. And he showed me one of the videos. And the first thing that they attacked in this video was God's love. And he's a person at my workplace, so I prayed for him. He's in bondage, you know. You get to know the people at your workplace. And I forget, it was some German name, Gidheist or something. It's a new age religion. And, you know, they try to use all the old time religions from Egypt and say, look, it's similar to Christianity, so this is just another religion you got here in Christianity, you know. And he thought he had a great revelation. He comes in and he says, oh, I don't know. I don't know if I should show you this, Andrew. Oh, I don't really know if I should show you this. And I'm going, he's apologizing already. This must be pretty bad. And so he started, and then I even said, this is of the devil. And I went, uh-oh, he's listening to me. So I prayed for him, and I prayed that he would know that he's in a prison. And even though the history, it shows similarities about light and darkness, and some Egyptian Anubis or whatever, and there was a god of light and a god of the darkness, one for the sun and one for the night. And they would kill each other as the days go by, and then the sun would come up, and then the moon would go. All this, he was saying things, you know, that how the church makes up all this stuff, you know, and it's been around and with all these other religions. And I looked at him and I went, you know, there's some people who actually are Christians and study these religions, and just to know what's wrong with them, you know. But these religions that they were given, like, they're gone a long time ago from Egypt, you know, the days of Pharaoh and stuff. So I just basically said to him, yeah, there's a story about Tammuz and Semiramis and Nimrod, and she was supposed to give birth to a virgin child too, you know, he was a little surprised that I said that, but everything he believed was,
oh, you got locked up,
about history, but it's history about these false gods and how they brought in this out there. Anyway, that's it, you know. So I need wisdom to overcome things, and there's some weird dreams I got too. So I don't trust these dreams because I'm not having good night's sleeps, and I've been doing battles all night. And it's okay. Like, I got snoozes times in between the battles, but I'm not trusting these dreams, and I prayed against them, and I asked for a word about the dreams, and it's I got a pretty good word from Ezra 7:23. It has to do with my family. They're private dreams anyway, about me and my brothers and sisters. I don't know where they are at in Christ. Of course, they're all Roman Catholic, and that speaks for itself. Anyway, that's that.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, Leon, go ahead.
Yeah, I had a similar incident like Andrew had this morning. And I went shopping at a discount food store, and I spent about $50. And usually I don't even get the, I don't take the receipt. I tell them, I got the stuff, you can keep the receipt. But this time I did take the receipt, and I went home and I looked, I don't know, I looked at the receipt, and I noticed that there was a package of meat there for $14, but on the receipt they only charged me $4. So I thought, huh, I got away with that, huh? But I went back and I was I said, you charged me the wrong price on this. And she said, hang on, I'll call the manager. So the girl comes out and she goes, what's the problem? And I say, well, this was $14 and you only charged me $4, so I owe you $10. And she was flabbergasted that I would do that. And so I thought that was pretty good. And then another time at Walmart, I had a small piece of ginger root in my basket, and it was down in the basket and I couldn't see it. So I checked out and went out. And as I went out, I noticed the bag that it was in. I said, uh-oh. So I went back in line. That one was 12 cents, but I paid it. So I like doing that stuff because people freak out, you know, they go, wow. It's amazing that you would do something like that.
I know it. Praise God. Man, David walked out of Walmart one time with 3 or 4 bags of groceries, not paying nothing. Didn't even think about it until we got I said, you're taking it back. But I did. I took it back. We paid for it. Praise God. All right. Anybody else? I see Claire, I can say. Go ahead.
When I read your email, I got so excited because I'd love to hear everyone's stories. I didn't actually think that I had any. And then last night, the Lord kept on waking me up with all these remembrances of all the times I've heard his voice. It was such a restless night, but it was so awesome because I remember. And if I could share some of them, like how I heard his voice. The first one was when I was pregnant with my first child, and we wanted to find, we sought the Lord, and we said, well, should we find out what the gender is, or what the sex is, because that's like a normal thing, right? These days you've got all the little gadgets and you get your scans and you just find out, it's just what you do. And I heard the Lord say, if you do that, you'll be, I heard the words, don't be arrogant. And I was like, okay. So we found, I don't know which, where the verse was. We were still very new, not even a year after being baptized did we fall pregnant. And so we didn't find out, much to the chagrin and being the butt of everyone's jokes, because how would you not find out? Like, why would you not trust the doctors and all of this? Anyway, that was great. That was a good story. And then we had a few more, but the one that I think Rian really struggled with And I say that in a respectful and comical way. I don't say it in a disrespectful way. We had just moved to Rosebery and I was busy homeschooling the kids, and I had this curriculum. And all of you who've homeschooled and know homeschoolers, you know, you've got different methods, but I had this boxed curriculum that did all the subjects. I mean, my children were like 6 and 5. Really, I could have done some handwriting and done a few sums and that would have been it. But I did this huge, every subject under the sun from a curriculum with the same word in it, sun. And anyway, so we got to this one point about 2 months into our journey of homeschooling, and I had to tick off everything every day. I felt if I don't do that, you know, I'm feeding my children to the wolves. And one of the books that we read was this book called Mary on Horseback. And I opened it up and it's about, well, obviously it's American history, right? Which I know very little about, but Mary on Horseback was the lady who started that nursing service or something in Kentucky in the 1920s. Anyway, as we started reading the book and I realized it was from a medical point of view, I got this check in my spirit and I felt not good about reading this book. But because I needed to tick that I had done the pages, my children weren't enjoying the book. I wasn't enjoying the book, but I needed to tick these pages. So for 3 days, I read this book. And on the third day, Mika started getting a huge rash all over her body. Like, it was unbelievable. And she actually ended up having a huge disease, and the Lord healed her miraculously from that. But in those 2 nights where she would get this rash and she would blow up, she looked terrible, and the doctors didn't care here. I mean, I took her just because I didn't know what it was, but I wasn't treating her with anything. We were just praying, and they didn't really know what it was. And then the Lord woke me up and he said to me, Mary on Horseback needs to go. So I have never spoken back to the Lord. I've always come very meekly and, you know, just sort of said, whatever you say, Lord, you know, as you should. But this was a very interesting time because I was having a dialogue with God. Like, I answered him and I said, what would you have me do? And he said, you need to burn it. And I said, it's 3 in the morning. How shall I burn this book? 3 in the morning. And I'm talking to him the whole way, like down the passage, getting the book off the shelf. And he says to me, there's a lighter in the second drawer in the kitchen. I go and I start lighting the book in the kitchen. Rianne comes in.
I woke up. I hear my wife talking to herself at 3 o'clock in the morning, walking up and down the passage.
He's like, what are you doing? I said, shh, I'm talking to the Lord. And he goes, but why are you burning something in the kitchen? I said, this book is from the devil. It must go. And he says, you can't be burning things at 3 in the morning. I said, well, I want to do it. And God says to me, then open the door. So we go outside into the forest. Not a safe place to burn at the best of times. And we burn this book and I start singing in my tongue, like never done that before. And we start praising and there's all this like activity that I can see spiritually happening. And poor Rian doesn't see it, but he's with me in it. And that book was burned to smithereens. And when we told our girls about it, and our boy, but he was very, very young then, we told the children about it the next morning. And it was like this amazing breakthrough in our lives. And we've just... It changed our homeschool, it changed everything as the Lord does, but it was the most tangible. I had a conversation with our Father and he was so merciful and he was so gracious and he took me through it because I did not know what to do. And it's not the first time we've gotten rid of books. We often go through a cull because these things, as you get more discernment, you realize, oh, you don't need that, you don't need that, you don't need that. But this was one of those things where it was like, you have to burn it. And it was so freeing because then I had so much time in my day. The next day, I didn't have to read that stupid book.
Okay. So much for stupid books. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else? What I would like to hear, I'm going to get to you, Missy. What I would like to hear is in your prayer time, when you're conversing with the Lord, how do you do that? All right, Missy, go ahead. You raised your hand.
Well, that wasn't what I was gonna talk about.
You go ahead and share what you had. Okay.
The very first time I realized the Lord talked to me was, oh gosh, that was in the summer of 2005. And oh gosh, I don't want to give details of this. Let me think here. Well, I was talking to the Lord about something that I had apprehension about doing, something that I knew was coming up, someplace that I had to go, and I didn't want to go. And I was just praying and talking to the Lord about, you know, telling him about that I didn't want to do this. And and I had this instant knowing that when I went there, it's something I knew. I knew in general something bad was going to happen. And but I thought it was just the enemy, you know, talking to me, and I rebuked it. And, you know, I don't know, remember exactly what it was I said, you know, like, I don't receive that, or, you know, whatever, you know, I rebuked, you know, the enemy. And right away the Lord comes back and says to me, don't think that I can't use something negative. And so I was just like, wow. And I knew it was the Lord then that had told me, showed me. It might have been like just a knowing. Sometimes you can get such a flash vision that it gives you a knowing that you can't really put words to it other than a knowing. You can't put a description of what you saw. But anyway, so yeah, and so then I had peace about it then, you know, I had peace about it then, and I didn't dwell on it or anything. And then I went where I was supposed to go, and it came about. I found out how, you know, what the Lord told me was going to happen. And so that was really, really powerful for me at that time, because it was a tumultuous time in my life. And then October, then after that, the Lord had, I had a really bad case of sciatica, and I had had 3 cortisone epidural shots. This is before I was in faith about, you know, believed in Lord healings and stuff like that. And I had stopped working for about a month. And in the midst of that, I was laying on the sofa one night, and I was just talking to the Lord. I'm like, Lord, you know, I need to work. I'm on my own now. And I was just, you know, talking to the Lord about that. And I had this knowing, maybe a flash vision with that, of knowing that all of a sudden I realized I could stand up straight, and I was just praising and thanking the Lord. And I don't remember how many weeks later that happened, but that's exactly what happened, you know. And and it's just that was the first two times that the Lord, you know, I know that he he really spoke to me, whether, you know, the first time was more of the Lord speaking to me directly. And the second time was he was merciful and gave me like a word of knowledge. It wasn't like he was speaking to me like the first time, but it was pretty awesome. It was pretty awesome. And so.
Go ahead.
So let me think about your question and I'll get back to you on that.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Anyone else? Is there a set thing that you do? Go ahead, you.
I would say no, there's not a set thing that you do. I've heard the voice of the Lord sometimes when I was like in distress over things and I was on my knees praying and crying out to him about something. And one of the things I was like, you know, this isn't what you want, Lord, I'm sorry, I changed my mind, or, you know, however I was praying about it. And I was really just like, you know, I was beside myself and the Lord just said, you don't know what you're saying. In other words, don't say anymore, you know? And I shut up, but I'm like, I was thinking about, you know, you're, you know, being held, every idle word being held against you kind of thing. So I repented of my emotional outbursts. And I remember, doing a Bible study. This is before I was still in the church system then, but I was doing this Bible study and the Lord just really got a hold of me through this Bible study. But I just remember reading about King David and all the, you know, all his stories. There's so many awesome stories about David. But one of the things was, you know, we can ask God anything and, you know, he'll talk to us. And the thing that I still remember about that was it's 1 Chronicles 14:10. And David inquired of God, saying, shall I go up against the Philistines and will thou deliver them into my hand? And the Lord said to him, go up, for I will deliver them into thy hand. And I'm like, wow, God answered him just like that. You know, how cool is that? And I'm like, I want that. I want that. I saw and heard of other people having this, you know, wonderful, miraculous life and hearing from God and God doing wonderful things with them and having a real relationship. And I was asking God for all that. It's like, Lord, I want that. And, you know, he gave it to me. I started hearing the voice of the Lord. And then of course, coming into this ministry and getting all the warnings about, you know, make sure it's the voice of the Lord. How are you going to know it's the voice of the Lord? And, you know, make sure you don't have any idols. And I started getting this fear, like this voice I was hearing really wasn't God. It was my own thoughts and stuff and learning how to discern those. And, but there were times where I would just hear the Lord say, I love you. I'm like, that wasn't my thought. That wasn't me. You know, I know that was the Lord. Or, you know, just different things. I would just hear him and saying something to me that I really, really wanted. And I was in the shower and I wasn't thinking about the Lord. I wasn't thinking about anything. And I just heard the voice of the Lord so clearly tell me something that I had asked for. And he just said, you will have it. And I'm like, that was God. I know that was God. You know, I just knew it was the Lord. And it's not like you have to do anything. There's been times I just cry out and it's like, Lord, I want your presence. Where are you? And I'm thinking, okay, well, I know when I read your word, you're here. That's you. And you're here when I read the word. And I ask him, always ask, you know, Lord, teach me, show me things in your word. Show me things. I want revelations. I want to see you. I want to know the heart of my Father. I want to know Jesus, my Savior. I want to know you. And just, you know, I don't always hear, and I seldom ever feel his presence, but boy, when I do, it's like, I know it's him, but it doesn't mean that I don't believe he's not here. It's just, he's there. He's always listening and he's always hearing us. And I just believe seeking the Lord is just, you know, searching his word and praying to him and just talking to him. I mean, He really does want us to have a one-on-one personal father-daughter, father-son relationship. You know, that's what he wants for us. And just as he, you know, answered David, just, yeah, I'll give him into your hand, go get him. You know, that he's going to answer that way to us too. You know, he just wants us to be honest and be uninhibited. That was my prayer too. It's like, Lord, I just want to be completely uninhibited with you. I don't want any hesitation. I don't want any, you know, I don't want to feel like I can't come to God about anything. And, you know, it says in his word, if you seek me with all your heart, you're going to find me. And I'm like, Lord, I'm seeking with everything I know. I love you and I worship you with everything I know how to do. And I know that he hears me. And I know I hear the voice of the Lord sometimes. You know. And he keeps saying he loves me and he's gonna bless me. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Very good. All right, anybody else? Yeah, Paula, go ahead.
It's also not a set formula, but when you asked us, I also asked the Lord to just remind me of what I actually do. And it helped to give me clarity as well, and just to see how awesome he is. But in the mornings when I read my Bible, I usually just begin by just getting quiet. And then the first thing he impresses on me is that I am the Holy of Holies. You know, he and Father made their abode in me. I'm a tabernacle. So he's not far away. He's not separate from me. He's in my heart and he's in my mouth. And I'll just close my eyes and just try to just really grasp that and just think on that beautiful realization that they both are living inside of me and that he created man to be able to contain him, you know, and just how precious that is and how powerful that is. And when I do that, it's like I immediately enter his presence because I immediately identify with him and I realize that I've been completely replaced with Christ and that there are no barriers between us. And he is so close, there's almost no way of getting closer. And and then when I think of them, I just start thanking Father and I start thinking on who he is, who Jesus is. You know, the person and his characteristics, what he has done, what he is doing, what he is going to do. And when I start thanking him for that and I start naming characteristics as they come up, he just starts growing bigger and bigger. You know, the sense of him just grows and grows and grows. And I tell him then, he becomes so real, if I can put it that way, you know, when I start thanking him for who he is and when I really start coloring in, you know, and then I just tell him how much I love him and how I long to really intimately know him more and more each day. And I ask him to cause me to love him more and that there will be the evidence of obedience. You know, because I know it's not just this warm and fuzzy feeling. It's that very real act of leading an obedient life and that he will grant me that. And then I ask him to reveal himself to me in his word and that he will show me great and wonderful things that are too wonderful and too fortified for my human brain, and that I know I'm becoming more and more aware that I need his spirit to open up all of his truth and for me to really do that walk and grow in him and attain to that high calling. You know, there's just no way without that. And I ask him to open my mind, to understand the scriptures and to hear his voice, and that he will teach me in whatever scripture I'm reading that day, that he will teach me what he wants me to learn that day, that he will give me the manna that I need for that day, and that his spirit will quicken that portion and have its work in me and have its way in me. If there are scripture showing sin and it resonates, I will confess that. If it's something that I see maybe in someone else or whatever, I stand in the gap for them. If there's praise, I give him praise. So it's just this beautiful guide. The word then is just this prayer guide, and I will interrupt it with prayer, and then I'll go on reading, and then launch into another prayer, and then we go on reading. And so it's just takes me through this whole journey with that portion of the word for that day. And that's basically how I spend my mornings. And sometimes there are more time and you can really lose track of time. Other times it's a bit more pressed for time, but like Claire said the other evening, he's also able to, in a very short space of time, really, I think if you seek him for that, to really give you revelation and bless you, and for you to be a blessing to him. Just that thought to me is also so precious, to imagine that I am able to bless the Lord and that I am able to be a blessing for him. And I think that's the thing. It's this beautiful two-way street. And just being able, prayer is also to just be still and quiet and hear what he has to say. So that's my bit.
That was wonderful. Thank you, Paula. Thank you. Thank you, Lori. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Greg, go ahead.
Thank you. Sorry, I had a conversation with Claudia, who was in here a couple of weeks ago, and I've got to pass the message on, by the way. She said to me, thank you for being here. She said, thank you, Greg, I loved it. Not sure if we'll be there often, but please take them for me. They are super kind. But anyway, in the last conversation I had with her, she and it was the end of, you know, the time we were talking, she said, how do you hear from God? And I said, well, you hardly get this. I kind of get this impression. And the conversation ended and I walked away and, you know, it was the Lord. He said, well, that wasn't a very clear answer. And I get it, because for those who don't register they hear from the Lord, it's kind of frustrating for them. And, you know, being there myself. But as I walked away, he started reminding me of the times that I've heard from him, and they were myriad. I remember, well, you know, one of the first ones obviously is when I came to the Lord, which for me was walking in the front of a church service, and he was definitely calling me. And in that time, I don't know if I've told you this, but I was away on a school camp, you know, we were studying industry anyway, doesn't matter. And we stayed in my group stayed in an ex timber cutter's, you know, lodge in the bush. It was in a, you know, made into a campsite. And I went outside to ponder this God stuff, you know, is he really real, etc. And I was leaning on a stump or a post or something in the bush. And he showed up as a kangaroo. He just, like, this thing just hopped up to me, was about a meter away from me, and we just looked into each other's eyes. Now, if you've ever been in the Australian bush, you sometimes do see kangaroos, but they don't come near you. And if they see you, they'll hop away, you know, bounce away, etc. And I remember one time very early on in my walk, we're talking weeks here, and I didn't know the way around the Bible, etc. And I was 16-year-old living with my parents at the time. And my elder brother annoyed me, which was his practice, by the way, you know, to the point where he, I was supposed to get angry. And I walked away and thought, God, how do you love someone like that? You know, because I knew that at that stage we were supposed to love, everybody. Now, I had that area of time of my life had been reading a book, which some of you might recall from the time, called Jonathan Livingston Seagull. Don't go and get it. It was actually written by Automatic Writing, I've since found out. But that's just, it was just a little thin book, but that's, you know, what I knew. And he actually gave me a quote from the book to answer the question. And there was another time I had read Revelation, the first book of the Bible I read, didn't understand a word of it, by the way. But, I was some days later, I was driving down the road and I can still pick the exact spot. And the verse about, you know, he will wipe away every tear, it just dawned on me. I had this epiphany of the care of God so much that he will, you know, stoop and wipe away every tear. Oh, goodness me. The times that, he's woken me up in the night to pray for someone or something. And even just the other day, I was reading through 1 and 2 Samuel and just getting an awareness of the anguish, rather than just reading the black and white, the anguish of Hannah, sorry. And the grief that what was the other wife's name? Paniah was giving her, and Elkanah, how he just he didn't do a good job of dealing with that situation at all. And again, a bit further on, when the ark was taken from Israel and the Philistines had it. I was just reading how the ark, you know, they moved the ark from one town to another to another to another. And because everywhere they went, they got hemorrhoids. And we this is just God knows what. We were just laughing and laughing. Oh, I was laughing and laughing and laughing and laughing at this. I remember the time that I was asked to come into leadership into the keys of the kingdom ministry. And I was actually, at the time, I was actually sleeping in the back of my car. And I got this call from Tracy and I said, you know, I'll pray about it. And I asked God what he thought, you know, and on the face of it, you think that, you know, because I didn't have a home at the time, you think, well, this is not a really good time for this. But I asked God and he said, and it was kind of like, he didn't say it this way. The words were, well, what do you think? Like, it was like, duh, you know, you've been a believer for a long time. You know, you're not a young believer. You do know your way around the word a bit. So he kind of responded that way. But there's been other times, and I'd like to go into detail of this one, but I probably should talk to, you know, Dave or Michael about it before I do, but where I have been deep in prayer and, you know, and the one I'm thinking is with someone and he's just given me these, I mean, I've been there with, you know, realizing I'm with the Lord. And for me, it's kind of all in, you know, I'll just say it's in black and white. So I don't see all the detail that you read about in Daniel and Revelation, but just being aware I'm there, and him asking me to do things, and saying, this is what I want to have happen. You know, one time it actually, I mean, I buckled when he told me something that was in, well, he told me to pray for something. But I would need to speak to, you know, Michael or Dave or something about that before I start spreading out, because it involves another person. I'll stop there.
Okay. All right. That's good, Greg. That's good. You did freeze up about the last 4 or 5 seconds there. That's all right. Amen. All right. Anyone else? Yes, Marilyn.
Well, probably the one thing I do is, and you know, I'm retired, you know, I do have more time than a lot of other people do. I have plenty of chores, and you know, my life is very, very full and very busy. But when I'm not busy with chores, I'm like to be alone with the Lord. And to me, the most important thing is just getting into a quiet setting. You know, Jesus says, go into your prayer closet and close the door. And a lot of what Paula said, I can relate to. It's that way with me. I, you know, just go in there. And I will say that since I've started praying, having like 2 dedicated sessions of prayer, one in the morning and one in the afternoon, that it seems like it's easier to just almost immediately be in the presence of the Lord. And I'm like Paula, you know, the Lord has really put on my heart. My father has just really been giving me an attitude of gratitude. I'm amazed at, you know, what, and that for so many years I didn't realize this. You know, it's an incredible blessing and privilege and honor to be able to come to the throne of grace and meet with the Father and to be there with Jesus. And Father just sees us as the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And so really like to thank Father for sacrifices, for sending his son, for sacrificing his son. I like to really thank him for his grace and his faithfulness and his mercy and his forgiveness and his great wisdom and tell him, you know, that I think he does all things well and that I don't know what I don't know, but I'm very thankful that he sees everything and he knows everything. He hears everything and nothing is hidden from him. And I just sense his presence and then just begin to pour my heart out to him. I ask Father every day because it's a ministry of the Holy Spirit to convict us of sin and righteousness and judgment. And so I ask him to keep a spirit of repentance on me so that if I think something, I speak something, I do something that doesn't line up with the word, I want to quickly repent and get the slate clean. And you know, I'm just amazed as I pray and I pour my heart out to the Lord that that he will speak to you. You know, a lot of times he speaks to me with scripture. Sometimes he speaks to me with old hymns. You know, I grew up in an apostate church, but a lot of those old hymns had a lot of good doctrine in them. And they were written in such a way that they can even be prayed as prayers. And when I first started really seeking the Lord after I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's been close to 30 years ago, that was a lot of my prayer time was I would sing those old hymns and I would pray those old hymns. And so sometimes he even speaks to me that way. But also at the end of my prayer time, and I'm like Paula, I have my Bible there. That's I read Psalms in the morning, spend some time there. It's more like you're praying the Psalms versus reading the Psalms or studying the Psalms. But at the end of my prayer time, I ask the Lord, you know, is there something you want to speak to me? Sometimes it's a correction. I know that if I'm having a hard time getting into the presence of the Lord, that, you know, I just need to wait and let the Holy Spirit show me what I need to repent of. And Father's not up there with a baseball bat waiting to whack you. You know, he'll tell you. But then when you repent, you know, I just thank him that if I confess my sins, he's faithful and just to forgive my sins and to cleanse me of all unrighteousness. And, you can ask Father for anything. There are so many great and wonderful things you can ask Father for and remind him of. And, you can ask him to, create in you a clean heart and renew a right spirit within you. And you can ask Jesus to perfect your faith because he's the author and the perfecter of your faith. You can ask the Lord to help your unbelief. I mean, he's there for everything. And the word is just full of things that you can ask for, and he will give them to you. You know, I've prayed for many years for a heart of unfeigned love and unfeigned faith. He's still working on that one. You know, some of these things take time, but you know, we are so blessed. We're just so blessed. You can ask him to help you be in the world, but not of the world. You can ask him to help you love people where they are. You can thank him for being so long-suffering with you so that you can learn to be long-suffering, you know, with other people that may not be, you know, quite where you are, or more than that. A lot of times it's just that we're all different parts of the body. We have different callings. We have different giftings. And we can pray for one another. We can just, you know, if your heart doesn't condemn you and you're right there before the throne of grace, you can, you know, don't just pray for yourself, you know, pray for others. We're to wash one another's feet. And I know that that has a lot of different implications there, but part of that, I think, is even in prayer. And we can pray for protection and cast down the evil forces, the witchcraft. You know, there's just, it comes from so many different avenues and so many different directions. But we have the authority to cast all that down for our brothers and sisters in Christ. And, you know, I want you guys to know that I pray for you because you're our family. You know, you're our friends. You're really all that we have. And we love everybody here very much. So that's all.
I love you too, Mary. Barry. Y'all my bestest buddies. Amen. That's good, Mary. That's great. That's awesome. Dave, that was Grace. That wasn't Greg.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I was just wondering what that was. Okay.
Okay, anybody else? Thank you, Marilyn. I could tell that came from your heart, girl. Did you raise your hand, Claire?
I did. Okay. I'm so encouraged by Paula and Marilyn. Like, it's just so wonderful to hear people who are so intentional and, yeah, like, I don't know what to say. I'm a bit speechless, but not entirely speechless because I still have one more little thing to say. When I pray, I think the way I come in, I think we all do, it feels like I resonate a lot with what Marilyn and Paul are saying. So I'm not going to restate what they say, but I think the one thing that I maybe do is I repent. I'm not saying that you girls don't, I know you do, but I'm not as holy perhaps, like I mess up all the time. And so before I come into his presence, I have to just take stock of my day and say, I'm sorry for, or even, I mean, I wake up and I pray and it feels like that moment of my eyes waking to the point where I pray, I might even have to repent before that point. Or, you know, like sometimes it's like that. And so I really do, I pray that, you know, Father, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit in me. And there's this, I ask him to show me the imperfect and give me all of that he promises in his word from the Holy Spirit and from the characteristics of Christ for me to overcome this fleshly vessel so that he can have more glory. And I also, most days I pray, I don't do it out of unbelief, but I do it more as a remembrance for the Lord to give me more truth and more knowledge, because I feel like time is short and I feel like I've only, not that I've wasted what I've been given, but I always want more. So I'm often asking for more. And when I do that, there's just this infilling that I don't get on the days when I forget to say those words. And when I ask for more, I get more of everything. I maybe just ask for knowledge and truth, but then I get more peace. I get more joy. I get more gentleness in my days because I've just asked for two little things, and that's just how good he is. And when I have done that, and I transfer into my prayer language, and I sing to the Lord, and I pray in my prayer language, and then go back and pray in understanding, it feels like, and that happens early on in the morning, before I leave my room, it feels like I'm able to access that throughout the day. As I'm doing morning tea for the kids or preparing lunch, I can more readily pray in the spirit or pray a prayer of repentance, or if we're having difficulty with maths or any other subject or anything, a character issue, I can leave the room and I can more readily go and humble myself and get on my knees and pray. Whereas when I haven't had that sanctified prayer time in the morning, because it does happen sometimes that I don't get to it, you know, the day doesn't lend itself to more of him and less of me, and it's humbling. I wish I could have so much more, and I know that he will give me everything that he promises in his time.
Good. Well, some good testimonies tonight. Everybody's paying attention. All right. Who's next, Missy? You don't have to if you don't want to right now. Go ahead, Julie.
I'll just add that being alone with the Lord and just waiting on the Lord to hear him. I mean, I'm here and I know you're here, and I'll ask him for a word, or sometimes I'll ask him, you know, where do you want me to read today? What do you want to speak to me about? You know, and I'll just hear, you know, a chapter or something, or sometimes I don't hear anything. I'm like, well, I know I need to eat. I know I need to, you know, to be in your word today. And I, you know, it's like, I really want to be, you know, is there something specific? And if I don't really hear anything, I'll just kind of pick up the Bible and just flip it open and start reading, is where my eyes fall, you know? And I know that that's fine. Another thing too is, I don't always do this, but I know some of my sisters do, is they sing to the Lord even before they start praying. They come in with, you know, worship songs and praying the scriptures to him, or, you know, like Marilyn was saying, and Paula, just, you know, exalting the Lord and praising him for who he is, but, you know, praying in the spirit, and asking the Lord for his Holy Spirit. When I was working, if I did not have time with the Lord before I started my day, I felt it. I missed out so much. And I would listen to, you know, a Bible study or something on the way to work or something like that, but it's still not the same as just having that quiet time alone. And then, you know, because I'm here by myself all the time, I don't have a lot of distractions of, you know, family and that kind of thing, I can just spend time with the Lord all evening, all night, all morning. But in the morning, it is important before you start your day for that. At least to me, it is. But singing to him is good, is really good. And I know he loves that. And there was something else I was going to say or bring it back to my mind. What was that? If it comes to me, I will text it in the chat or something. But it was just something little. Oh, I know what it was. Thank you. There was one night in the middle of the night. I don't know how long I had been baptized in the Holy Spirit with tongues. Maybe a month, maybe 2 months, something like that. But I woke up in the middle of the night, and I just knew the Lord woke me up. I was wide awake. I'm like, I just sensed the Lord was saying, come out here and pray. Come pray. You know, so I started praying in the Spirit, and I was praying, and I was just looking, you know, I had my eyes open. I was just looking to see if I would see anything, you know, or something. But then it just came and it's like, well, Lord, who am I praying for? Who am I praying for? And you know, he answered me. He's like, Jill. I'm like, well, I didn't know any Jill, but I was praying for a sister named Jill, you know, whoever that was. And it's like, well, you know, you can just ask him anything. And he responded. He's just awesome. You just cannot limit him. And yeah. He's just wonderful to just sit and meditate on the word and ask him questions or you know, pray the scriptures over yourself or over your family or over the body or whatever. And it's, you know, sometimes I'll hear him when I was going through a really difficult time, but, you know, the Lord was just my greatest encourager, you know. And I was praying in the spirit, and I kept repeating something, a phrase. I'm like, Lord, what am I saying? And he said, deliverance is the children's bread. It came to me when he spoke to me. And I'm like, praise the Lord. I was praying my own deliverance, other deliverance. I don't know. But, you know, he the other thing too is he will, whatever you hear, when you hear it's the voice of the Lord, or, you know, his messengers, his angels, it will always agree with the word of God. It will always agree. So if you're not sure if that was his voice or what it was you heard, then, you know, discern if it was him or not. That's all I'll add. That's it.
Amen. Yeah, Rhea.
Claire just reminded me. Oh, sorry. We were just reminded of something that we do. Perhaps this is for the others that are couples, or if you're homeschooling, if you're listening, and you get busy with your lives. One of the things that we've done is we've said that Claire needs a break from, you know, from the kids and from me and from the house and from homeschooling, all of that every now and again. And it's turned out to be such a blessing. What we do is every a couple of months or so, Claire would go away for a night somewhere close by, just go, you know, there's a town south from here called Strawn, which is quite lovely, a little bayside town, and she'll book herself in there for a night or two. And I know that the Lord has worked. And then it's not to go and gallivant, it's to spend time with the Lord. And every time she's done that, she's been so close to the Lord. I mean, she could tell you. I mean, I'll get videos of her absolutely filled with the Holy Spirit, laughing. Just a wonderful time to be alone like that. And I thought, that's something that we've kind of done. And I know we've spoken a lot about this is kind of the daily things you do, but there's certain times when you need to separate yourself and be completely just dedicated or alone with God. For myself, we're talking about how do you get into the presence of God? One of the things that that I always feel kind of the closest to God or experiencing the most is when I'm out in nature, when I get out and go somewhere, be quiet next to a river or a mountain, or just to see His creation. It's just said the other night to Claire, when I was growing up and we went hiking with my parents, and you get up on a mountain, it's almost, there's something about it that you just can't help but just feel the presence of God and be close to Him. So that's kind of just something we do separate from your daily getting into the presence of God is to carve out some of that time to go and hear from God. I know that some of the kind of big decisions that we've made or turning points in our lives was when we were away, and we would get out and I would be able to be alone with God in nature, and then He would speak and we'd get word. And yeah, so even if you get away, it's not to get away and be busy doing lots of different exciting things. It is to still get away and be alone with Him somewhere quiet and to be still.
Yeah, like one of the ladies that I chat with about homeschooling, when I told her this, she's like, what do you do then? She was quite indignant that I would, number one, leave my family for a night, but also number two, that like I quite like to go out for dinners by myself. I like being alone, but I love people as well. So it's a weird mix. But you know, the Lord made me so. And I said to her, my knees hit the floor when I get into that hotel room. Like, it's as simple as that. I don't feel the need to do anything except be with God, and I write my list and my petitions, and I, you know, confess. And it's just this amazing time of, it's the sweetest fellowship I've ever had, is when I'm separate and I'm allowed to have that. And I'm so grateful for my husband who initiated it, because I would never consider taking myself out of the equation of the family, but he's allowed it, and it's been such a blessing.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anyone else?
Michael, it's Kathleen.
Yeah, Kathleen, go ahead.
I think everybody's been very, very blessed by all of these testimonies. All of them, they're giving me ideas, you know, that I'm going to work on myself. But I want the one of the things that I do is that I sing. I sing. I just turn on Michael. I'm not Michael. I turn on Terry McGammon, or now I have the new singer. Sue just gave his name the other night. I can't think right now. But I've been singing. I'm memorizing his songs. But I've done this for many years, you know. But what I wanted to tell you of an experience I had once when we lived on the other side of where we're living right now. Because you know, I live on a bay on the ocean. I live on the ocean, but we lived on the side where there was a bay. And we rented this apartment that was on a cliff, real high cliff. And then we were in an apartment building that was on the 10th floor. So it was just like you were, when you looked out at over the ocean and the sky, it was like you're on a mountain. It was absolutely beautiful. And very often we would see double rainbows in the bay. But I used to go out on the, not on the veranda, but on the room next to the veranda in the back over the ocean, and I would sing. And one time I was just singing like a bird, you know, enjoying myself all by myself. And I was closing my eyes and I was lifting my hands. I was just praising the Lord and singing. I opened my eyes and I looked out over the ocean. I could not believe my eyes, what I saw. There was a dove that must have been 30,000 feet tall. Mammoth, huge. It was just, had to have been at least 30,000 feet. Perfect dove with the tail and the wings and the head turned and the beak. I didn't have a camera at that time, you know, but it was like a gift that God gave me. You know, it was just beautiful. And I've had two experiences like that, but this was the first time I had a dove, and it was a tremendous experience. You know, you don't always have those, but that was many years ago. But you know, it makes you look forward to what He's going to do, because He wants to do that. He wants to do that for His children. You know, He wants to bless us like that. So I just wanted to share that.
Amen. That's a big dove.
Sure was.
That's a big dove. Did He tell you why He showed you the dove?
I knew why He showed me the dove. He didn't tell me. I just knew it.
All right. Praise God. That's great. Awesome. Anybody else?
Michael?
Yes.
You know, all these testimonies, I really am blessed by listening to them. Yeah. Oh, by the way, that's Michael Card she was talking about.
Yes.
I also like to sing before I want to sing songs to the Lord, to just, you know, get in His presence and stuff in my own time. And I can remember when in the past where when I first realized that I heard from Him, that was awesome to me, because I was looking for God. I wasn't living for God, but I was looking for Him, and just seemed like I wasn't finding Him. And my car was getting, this was before I actually went and started really living for the Lord, but my car had some problem. Well, it didn't have any problems at that time, but I was getting it tuned up. And it was really cold up there. And I went up there after the tune-up. I had a boyfriend that knew how to do tune-ups, and so he helped me do tune-up. But before I went up there, I heard this voice. I heard this thought, not a voice, but I heard this thought in my head, something about something needing greased. And I had no idea, you know, of my car, and I didn't know anything about it. And so so then I mentioned it to my boyfriend about getting this thought, this needs to be greased. And he said, well, no, this car doesn't need grease. Everything's sealed up. I didn't understand what he meant by that. I mean, I understood a little bit about cars in the past, years ago, needed to have put grease in certain parts, you know, so they wouldn't break down or anything. But that's all I knew. But I had that thought, and he was a mechanic, so he knew what he's talking about. So then when I went to get the stuff to get it tuned up, I heard that voice. I heard that thought, that voice or whatever, again in my head. It needs to be greased. And that was when I was, when I went to get the parts, I talked to the mechanic there. And I said, does anything in my car need to be greased? And he said, no, it's all sealed up. So I thought, okay, that's twice now that came to me. And then it came to me a week before I went up to Wisconsin. And I just said, no, I reasoned it out. I thought, oh no, this is the two times that came to me, and both mechanics said that it doesn't need it. So I tell that to go, you know, that thought to go, because it's, you know, it's not right. Well, here I went up to Wisconsin, and it was really cold in the winter, and I mean, it was like 0 degrees, and I was coming back down from Wisconsin and getting into Illinois, and my steering column of my car, I couldn't, whenever I turned it, it would make a real loud noise. And it was hard for me to turn. It got worse and worse as I was going. And then I called my sister who was in Illinois, and I said, can I stay overnight? Because I was going to go straight back down to Pennsylvania. And I said, can I stay overnight? Something's wrong with my car. And she said, well, sure. And so I went to the mechanic the next day, and he said, he looked at it, and he said, you have a hole in the seal and there's no grease. And that's why I was hearing all this loud noise, and it was hard to turn the metal. It was hitting metal against metal. So I had to have that replaced. And then I, you know, and I wasn't, it was just my daughter and I that went up to the trip. And so when I got back home, I said to my boyfriend, I said, I told him what happened and everything. And then I said, wow, I think that was God telling me that, you know, because that's not me. It was God telling me that. And I was looking for God. He wasn't, but I was. And I, that's one thing that I realized, well, that wasn't my voice. I mean, even if it came from my mind, it was still not my voice. It was not my thought, because I didn't understand anything about that. And another time, once I started living for the Lord, there was another time where I was getting some little songs from the Lord, and I had a piano, but I didn't know how to play piano. All I could do was just my one finger on my right hand. I couldn't do any chords or anything. And I never had lessons. And one time I got frustrated and I said, oh Lord, I pray. This is when I was serving the Lord. I said, Lord, I pray that I wish I could play piano. I just, you know, I was really frustrated. I really wish I could, you know, and then all of a sudden I heard, well, you can. What? I said, yeah, you know how to drive, you know, because I felt like two left hand or two left feet, or you know how you that expression is. I said, he said, well, you know how to drive a stick shift, don't you? And I said, well, yeah, I'm having this conversation like this I never had before with the Lord, you know. And then I said, well, what's that got to do with playing piano? And he said, well, it's, you know, you use your feet and your hands differently, you know, and the same thing with a stick shift. You move both hands differently and your feet differently. Oh, I thought that encouraged me. I said, oh yeah, that's right. So I eventually was able to play in my left hand, play the chords, and play the right hand with the melody. I'm still not that great at playing piano, but anyway, because I don't practice enough. But I just felt drawn to speak of those things. But it's our thoughts, you know, the thoughts that help us to hear from, to know whether we're hearing from the Lord or not, you know. And that's what blesses me, you know, if I really hearing at that time, you know. And one time I asked him, oh Lord, I wish you could call on me or something. And so one morning I woke up, and or before I woke up, I was half awake, half asleep. I heard him say, Sue, and then I didn't hear nothing else. Yeah, what do you want? It was funny when that happened. Okay, so
I'm just going to share the first time that I heard the Lord's voice. At that time, I actually didn't know that it was the Lord, but I knew later that it was. We had a house fire, and I was carrying some things out the door And it was like there was this person right beside me saying, it will be okay. You will have a house. And well, everything was okay. But that was the very first time that I heard a voice speak to reassure me that there was nothing to fear. It was all going to be okay. And then some years later, we got out of the denominational setting and were going to a non-denominational church that believed in hearing the voice of the Lord and the gifts of the Spirit and all that. And we were taking a class on prophecy and learning to hear the voice of the Lord. And I was so excited that I could hear the voice of the Lord. And that was something that I just sought his presence every night. I'd spend time in the word and just to hear his voice and to what he would have to say and the way that he would lead me. And that was, to me, it was like very exciting. And then like about a year and a half ago, my husband passed away, and it was a time when I was like really felt alone because we'd been together for over 50 years. And he just would remind me, you're not alone. I'm right here with you. Mm-hmm. And it was just so comforting. And my favorite spot to go was out in the garden, and he was always there with me, talking to me and helping me through the day and through the decisions I had to make. And his presence was just the most precious, precious thing I can think of. And I know many of you mentioned all the ways that we seek him when we pray and when we sing and all those things. That I do those things as well, but I guess I most, the thing that just stands out to me is his precious presence. Mm-hmm. And that's what I just seek. And in my house here, basically, I sit in the chair that I got it from a secondhand place. And when I walked in there, they told me, well, this is the husband's chair. And that's the chair I have now. And I sit in that chair, and that's where the Lord is. And I just like sit in his lap, and he comforts me and helps me through whatever is on my mind for the day. And it's precious. Mm-hmm. And I guess that's really what I wanted to share.
That's awesome.
There really are not words to express the many, many gifts that he gives us each day, because, you know, he made us to be individuals, and he treats us as individuals. Mm-hmm. And whichever way we go to him, he's right there. Mm-hmm. And I just love it. That's all.
Let's I hate to interrupt it, but we've got a couple of things to pray for before we close out tonight. One of them is Grace put in the chat there. She said she hadn't been able to sleep. Let me just read what she says. Sorry, I have another meeting Thursday. Just update. Last night, not much pain, but prickly skin from rash still kept me awake. Bleeding was better. Healing from falling after fainting after the squirting bleeding from the tumor, but didn't know I bled from my head too. It was worse than I thought. Hit the portable heater and broke it, and didn't know head was bleeding till hours later. I thought the blood was from the tumor, not from my head, but the blood on the floor was from my head. Doesn't hurt anymore, at least. Kept thanking God for a great night of sleep. And then she goes down. And since I'm on another call, I can't join audio. I just need to sleep. I haven't slept for like over 1 month because of the rash. I don't remember praying for the rash the other night, so I'd like to go ahead and pray for that and also the head. Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift up Grace to you. Lord, we thank you for the healing that you've already done in her tumor. I know that's healed because your word says it. And it doesn't make any difference what we eye sees or what we hear. We know she's healed in Jesus' name. And I come against this rash that's been keeping her awake in Jesus' name. I command you to dry up and go away. And I command the irritation to leave right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, I just thank you. One more thing in the name of Jesus right now. I come against the spirit of infirmity that's on her, and I command every one of you to go right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you that everything that the enemy has tried to take from her is restored like new in the name of Jesus. And Father, we declare and decree that she's going to have a good night's sleep tonight, a good night's sleep in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for that. In the name of Jesus, we just glorify you. We thank you, Lord, that grace is healed. Debbie, your grace is healed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for doing that for her. In the name of Jesus. Okay. Praise God. That's done. I know Claire and Rion and Joe and all you South African natives, y'all remember Monroe and Janine, don't you? Yeah, Paula does, and Joe does. Okay, he texted me today, and he listens to the outreach. He can't get on, but he listens to the outreach. And he asked that we pray. He asked that we pray against fear, against he didn't know what to do. He said there's a lot of terrorists around, and they're having a lot of problems with murder and that type of thing going on in the country. And he said he's not so much worried about him as he is his father. I mean, his wife and children. And so he didn't know what to do. And I just want to pray for him and Janine and their children. Father, in the name of Jesus, I lift up Monroe and Janine and the children. I think he's got a boy. In Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, for your hedge of protection around each and every one of them, Lord. And I thank you, Father, that you put in great and bold faith in Monroe to believe that your word says that he can pray. He has authority over all the power of the enemy, and that he can put up a wall around his people, around his family, that the enemy cannot penetrate, will not penetrate. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that that's already been done for him in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you for giving all of them that great and bold faith that you have for each one of them in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for doing that for them in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. And Lord, I just pray that for all of your chosen in South Africa and other places in the world, that your hedge of protection is around all of your chosen, Lord. If somebody comes up there with a gun in their face, tell them just like David did, King David did. He said, you come to me with a gun and a bullet, and I come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you pull that trigger, you're liable to die right there. And we thank you, Father, for putting that great and bold faith and to speak the word right out to the enemy in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for doing that. Amen and amen. And amen. And amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Okay, anybody else? Yeah, Andrew.
Well, we're having Thanksgiving this weekend in Canada. I think it's your Columbus Day. And I think I'm going to be invited to my daughter's place. I already told her that I was on a fast. So
I was going to ask you about that.
For me. And I just wanted to have a prayer for that day. Whatever, yeah. just to know what to say or what to talk about, because they want to maybe play a game of something. Oh, I don't know what a game, a board game, or maybe euchre or something. And I don't know if my son will be there. He bought himself a new Jeep, and he's got himself a new girlfriend. So I'll be with them, and you know, that's if they don't change their mind and call back and cancel it. So I pray, Lord, that you would be in full control over this Thanksgiving Day thing they want to do. Me, and I thank you, Lord, that I'll get to see my daughter and my son, hopefully my son too, I don't know about that, and meet his new girlfriend and maybe even see his new Jeep, so that'll be fun, and to meet my son-in-law again, and we'll probably talk about a lot of fishing and stuff. So Lord, I just pray that you would control it all, to make it like you always do things, Lord, like I was reading in Genesis about how you controlled Abraham's servant to go get a wife for his son Isaac, and everything went right in control in that promise that he made to Abraham to find a wife from his kindred, and ended up to be right out of his own family too. So how you predestined things, Lord, constantly for us. And help me, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, that he's going to have a wonderful time up there and able to show a lot some light up there with him, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. I have a prayer that I'd like to pray. And I'm asking y'all, if you want to pray with me. Marilyn, it came out of that book, and I just, of Andrew Burris, The Spirit of Christ. And I made it, I took the old language out of it and put my old Arkansas language to it. So, but I think, all I know, if you pray this, if we pray this, just follow along with me and see what God's going to do, because I believe he's going to do something. Blessed Lord Jesus, with my whole heart, I worship you. Reveal yourself to me in your glory, that I might rightly know what I may expect from you. I bless you. I bless you, Jesus, because in you I have seen what the preparation is for receiving the Holy Spirit in his fullness. During your life of preparation in Nazareth for your work, Lord, the Spirit was always in you. And yet when you had surrendered yourself to fulfill all righteousness and to enter into fellowship with the sinners that you came to save in partaking of their baptism, you did receive from the Father a new inflowing of his Holy Spirit. And it was to you the seal of his love, the revelation of his indwelling, the power for his service. And now you, on whom we see the Spirit descend and abide, does for us what the Father did for you. My Holy Father, I bless you that the Holy Spirit is in me too. But I pray, Lord, give me yet the full, the overflowing measure you have promised. Let him be to me the full, unceasing revelation of your presence in my heart, as glorious and as mighty as on the throne of heaven. My Lord and my God, baptize me, fill me with your Holy Spirit. And I thank you, Lord. I thank you for doing that for all of us, Lord. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. Praise be to God forevermore. Woo! My. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. This is some wonderful testimonies tonight, and I'd like to carry it on Tuesday night, if you will, because we've got a little more to talk about. Go ahead, Angelica.
I also wanted to pray.
Yeah.
Do we have time? Or?
Yeah, we got time.
Okay. Heavenly Father, I just I thank you so much for this evening with the brethren, Lord God, and all of the wisdom and the experiences, Father God, that you've given, Lord. And Lord, I just praise you and I worship you, Father. And Lord, I come before you, Father God, and ask you, Father God, for more of you, Father. I know that none of us have the complete picture, Father. But Lord, I know that you put the desire in all of our hearts, Father God, to know you, Lord God, in your fullness, Lord God, to seek your face, Lord God, to know your heart, to know your will, to feel your presence and your strength, Lord God, to have that relationship that each one of us as your creation, as your sons and your daughters need, Lord God, the revelation of Christ Jesus in us and the revelation of God the Father through Christ Jesus, Lord God. And I just come before you, I ask you for that, Lord God, that you would show us how to seek you, Lord God, not only for the things that we need, Lord God, in this life, Lord Father, but to seek you for the things that you desire for us to have to complete the purpose that you have for us, Lord. I pray, Father God, that all the things that we're missing in our perspective, in our nature, in our character, Father God, through our experiences in the world, Father God, that you, Lord God, in all your mercy and grace, Father God, will fulfill that part of our emptiness, Father God, with your spirit, with your understanding of who you are, Lord God, that we would fully know your character, we would fully know your heart, Lord God, that we would know what grieves you, Lord God, that we would know you after all the wonderful emotions, the godly emotions that you've given us, that we would know what makes you laugh, what makes you cry, Lord God, what moves you, Lord God. And I ask you, Father God, to give us this revelation, Father God, in our time here on earth, Lord God, because it's easy, Lord God, when you're in heaven, Father God, to glorify you because you're in the midst of glory all the time, Lord God. But I pray, Father God, that even in the midst of trials, Father God, you give us that great grace to praise you, to worship you, to glorify you for what you've done, for what Jesus has done, Lord God, that we can bring you great joy, Father, and that we would have a revelation of the joy that we, as insignificant as we are, Lord God, can bring you, our Creator. And we thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. All right, Joe, go ahead, buddy.
Michael, I'll be short. A friend invited me for tea last Sunday afternoon, and I didn't think anything of it, so me and Nora did go. And then when we visit her, she's the manager of a place, a spiritual place. I'm not going to go into detail. It's just when I left there, the Lord showed me again, we must pray about everything, not just anything for granted. It was a bad experience. It was you can just feel the heaviness of a bad thing about it. So I repented to the Lord and I confessed that I'm asking for to go, and I bind every spirit and it was quite good. And Monday afternoon, the Lord showed me again a dragon in a pit trying to come out. So it just said, thank you, Lord, for giving me grace to repent and to ask for your forgiveness and not blind the spirit for authority he gave us. That's all. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for blessing Joe. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that you can do that. I ask, Lord, that you just bless him with your presence. In the name of Jesus, fill him, Lord, with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. We command any condemnation to go from him right now. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay. What an awesome night tonight. I appreciate it. We're going to have another too to come Tuesday night. Because Missy's going to give her testimony. I'm just kidding, Missy. All right. Y'all be blessed, okay? Bless you. I enjoyed it. I really did. I thoroughly enjoyed it.